Please take your Bibles this morning, turn to 2 Corinthians 10. I've been preaching a series in 2 Corinthians. Well, we're going to jump ahead this morning, a couple of chapters, or a few chapters. We're going to look at the beginning of 2 Corinthians chapter 10 this morning. You know, God wants every believer to be actively involved in the spiritual battle. And this morning we're going to look at three truths that you must accept, you must understand, you must grab a hold of if you are going to be successful in the spiritual battle that God has called us to partake of. The question this morning is, are you involved in the spiritual battle? Another question is, are you successful this morning in the spiritual warfare that you are engaged with? You know, if there is a lack of success in our lives in the spiritual battle, it is not because God does not have the ability to overcome the battles that we are facing. It is because we are not engaged in the battle the way God would want us to be engaged in it. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we read through this chapter this morning. I'm going to read these first six verses again at this time. It says, "Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, to him who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." In the first three and four verses of this chapter, we find the first truth that we must accept if we are going to be successful in this spiritual battle. The first truth is that we must renounce fleshly weapons if we are going to be successful. Notice here how Paul is speaking with them as he's writing to them. He says, "Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by what? The meekness and gentleness of Christ." Here Paul is not coming in the flesh. Paul is not coming to them on his terms. But Paul is coming to them in the Spirit of Christ to speak with them on this problem that they are facing. He says, "Who in presence am base among you, or am lowly among you?" You know, the some in the Corinthian church, or others maybe outside the church, may have been looking at the Apostle Paul as maybe not necessarily someone to be looked up as. And maybe as he was in their presence, he was, you know, a certain way. You know, verse 10, it says, "For his letters, say they, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak, and his speech contemptible. Let such an one think this, that such as we are in word by letters when we are absent, such will we be also indeed when we are present." They may have been comparing, you know, the Apostle Paul with someone else. And they had this, you know, lowly idea of who he was. They did not highly, some of them did not highly esteem him. He says, "But being absent and bold toward you." So the Apostle Paul is giving them some bold words of instruction in the way in which they ought to live. And he says in verse 2, "But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some." So the Apostle Paul was hoping that they'd what? Take the words that he was writing to them, these bold words, and what? Obey what was being written. Take care of the problems. Take care of the issues. So when he came in their presence, he would not have to deal with these issues. Then he says, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. So there were maybe some that were accusing, you know, the Apostle Paul as if he was the problem. You know, sometimes when people are confronted with a problem or do not want to go in a particular direction, you know, they'll point to someone else, maybe even someone in leadership, as being in the flesh or as being the problem. And you think of the Apostle Paul. You know, we have the Apostle Paul, how God greatly used him. And yet what were people accusing him of? Which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. You know, some were accusing the Apostle Paul as what? Being the problem. As being part of the problem. But what? Who was it? Well, it was people that were being in the flesh. That were acting in the flesh. And you ask the question, was Paul in the flesh? Well, he says he was in the flesh. He partook of human flesh. He had the weaknesses of being a human being. But yet, he did not wage the spiritual battle according to the flesh. And you look at some passages in 2 Corinthians and what the Apostle Paul went through. And we've gone through some of them, but real quickly, just read a couple of them. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 8. He says, 2 Corinthians 4:8, we are troubled on every side. Yet not what? Yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Now you answer the question. Was Paul acting according to the flesh? No. You know, somebody that was troubled on every side, what would they become? Distressed. Perplexed. And they would turn to what? They'd be in despair. And that's many times, that's how the devil wants us to respond to trials and difficulties that are happening in our lives. He wants us to be distressed. He wants us to be in despair. He wants us to feel like we're completely forsaken. He wants to feel like our lives are destroyed. And there's no hope. But what did the Apostle Paul do? He continued to move on. In chapter 6, verses 4 and 5, was Paul acting according to the flesh? But in all things, approving ourselves as ministers of God in much patience. And you look at many of these things, and what does it take? It takes patience. It takes endurance. In much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned. Was the Apostle Paul acting according to the flesh? But yet, here's people accusing him, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. You think if the Apostle Paul was going to be accused of being the one who is the problem, you know, how many others are going to be accused of being the problem? I wonder in your life this morning, the problems that you're dealing with, the problems that you're facing, are you trying to throw them off on someone else and accuse them of being the problem? Or are you personally dealing with them? And the Apostle Paul says, the Word of God says, you know, we do not war after the flesh. We must renounce fleshly weapons. And here, how did the Apostle Paul come to them? I beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. His strength was what? Under control. It was under God's control. You know, the Word of God says how we need to receive the Word of God, the engrafted Word, with what? With meekness. You know, the meek will He guide. You know, is there that ability for God to direct us? You know, you think of a horse that's been meek. Well, you have this powerful animal that has all this strength. But unless that strength can be guided, that strength is what? Is useless. You know, this morning, have we renounced fleshly weapons? Are we under God's control? You know, the Apostle Paul had to look at these problems, but he had to face them what? In the power of God. In 2 Corinthians 11, verses 24, he says, "Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, and journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness, in painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness." You know, do you think the Apostle Paul wanted to go about and say all these things he had been through? You know, the Apostle Paul shouldn't have had to rehearse all these things that he went through. But yet there were people that what? That were looking at the Apostle Paul as what? The problem. Or as part of the problem. When it was the people that were acting in the flesh that were the problem. And, you know, we need to make sure that we don't exempt ourselves, because what's our natural inclination? To always throw the problem on someone else. You know, if we're going to win the spiritual battle that we're in, we have to recognize that we must renounce fleshly weapons. You know, there's going to be people that might, like the Apostle Paul had happened to him, try to throw the issue on him. But how did the Apostle Paul have to respond? Well, he had to respond in the right manner, in the meekness and gentleness of Christ. Paul was not governed by worldly or fleshly principles. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 17, he says, "When I therefore was thus minded, did I use lightness? Or the things that I purpose, do I purpose according to the flesh, that with me there should be yea, yea, and nay, nay?" But notice that phrase, "Or the things that I purpose, do I purpose according to the flesh?" You know, Paul was not living, was not engaging in spiritual warfare according to the flesh. Paul had renounced fleshly weapons. "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." And Paul here is identifying himself with the weakness of human nature. He was in the flesh. All right, but he was not what? Engaging in spiritual activities in the flesh. You know, all of us are made of flesh. We all have the flesh. We all have the inherent weakness of being a human being. And we're going to carry that with us. But we must understand that spiritual warfare cannot be engaged in the flesh. You know, why should we renounce fleshly weapons? Well, I think here in verse number 4, it gives us the idea of why we should renounce fleshly weapons. It says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal," are not fleshly, "but what? But mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." So the reason to renounce fleshly weapons is because they are what? They are inherently weak. God is powerful. You know, the Apostle Paul is identifying himself with the weakness of flesh. He says, we don't war after the flesh. He says, our weapons are not carnal, but they're what? They're mighty. There's something that's the opposite of something that is fleshly. The flesh, the weapons of the flesh are limited. They're useless. But the weapons of God are powerful. So we find here there is an inherent weakness in the weapons of the flesh, and that is why they are to be renounced. You know, what are areas in our lives that you may need to renounce fleshly weapons? You know, there might be fleshly addictions or strongholds of sin in your life that you are battling. You know, you can try to approach them in the flesh. You know, there may be sin that you are battling, but you're not going to stop and memorize Scripture. Or you're not going to pray for victory. Or you're not going to be faithful to church, having your loins girt about with truth. You know, what are you going to have at church? Well, you're going to be under the preaching of God's Word. You know, how do you expect to get spiritual victory if you're not going to use the weapons that God has given you to fight the spiritual battle? So there may be fleshly addictions that you are involved in, and you want spiritual victory. Well, don't try to accomplish them. Don't try to come up with your own plan, so to speak. You know, go on the radio and search for some help. You know, some advertisement. You can pay some money to get victory over this problem that you're dealing with. Well, what do you need to do? You need to engage in. You need to take up the spiritual armor that God has given you. You know, maybe it's that you need to be ready to give out the gospel. Maybe it's because you're not girding up your loins with truth. You know, you're too interested in the latest gospel, or the latest gossip, I mean. You know, instead of going to the person and finding out the facts, in your pride, you assume that you know what happened, and you go on in your bitterness. You know, so many times we assume what we think happened in a situation. And we draw our own conclusions of what we think happened. And the problem is we keep going with our own conclusions. Somebody told us something that happened, and we assume why this happened, and we assume that what the person told us was true. And then we keep bringing them to our own conclusions, and pretty soon we're involved in bitterness. And then if you would have gone and talked to the person that said whatever, the person that they said something about, you would have found that the story was completely different. You know, but the problem is we don't, you know, what the Bible says, to have your loins girt about with truth. Obviously, truth is God's word. But what is Satan trying to do? He's trying to deceive. He's trying to make life a lie. And if you can believe the lies of Satan, which one of them would be gossip, he's going to what? He's going to take you right down his pathway. Because you don't have your loins girt about with truth. It was interesting this week, reading in the book of Acts. And if you look at when Paul came to Jerusalem, and here Paul comes to Jerusalem, and the city, these people, in verse Acts 21, verse 27, I'll read it. It says, "And when the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews which were of Asia, when they saw him in the temple, stirred up all the people and laid hands on him, crying out, 'Men of Israel, help! This is the man that teacheth all men everywhere against the people and the law and this place, and further brought Greeks also into the temple, and hath polluted this holy place.'" Then there's a parenthesis in verse 29. For they had seen before with him in the city of Trophimus and Ephesian, whom they supposed that Paul had brought into the temple. Then it says, "And all the city was moved." So here you have the whole city of Jerusalem in this big uproar about what? Something that a group of people supposed had happened. You know, that can happen with us, can't it? We can suppose something to happen. We can get a bunch of people all worked up about something. And it's not even what? Not even true. That's right. What is that? That's using fleshly weapons. You know, are you committed to the truth, or are you committed to gossip? You know, it's interesting, in Proverbs it talks about those that listen to a lie. You know, people that are willing to listen to a lie, it doesn't speak highly of their character. You know, if we're going to have spiritual victory in our life, in your life, you might have to be careful who you listen to. You might need to start finding out, you know what, is this truth or is this fact? Because you don't understand that the devil might be using that gossip in your life to hold something against somebody that never should be there. And lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and your life is defiled. I wonder this morning, are your loins girt about with truth? You have a problem in your life, but you're not willing to find out the truth. Well, you want spiritual victory, you better employ God's methods. You better stop taking problems down your pathway. You know, 1 Corinthians 13:6 says, what does charity do? Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but what? Rejoiceth in the truth. Guess what? The truth is one of God's weapons to give us victory in our Christian lives. And this morning, are you believing the truth or are you believing a lie? And one of the reasons you may be struggling with sin in your life is because you don't have the truth. You don't have the truth of God's word. You haven't followed God's directions for finding out the truth in the circumstances of life. And so you're not having victory. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. And if you're trying to solve your problems in the flesh, using your own methods, you're not going to have victory. You know, what about raising your children? You know, are you following God's plan? Are you trying to wage the battle for your children in the flesh? Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You know, you may have a battle on your hands at home, but don't use fleshly weapons. Amen. You know, in your husband and wife relationship, you know, maybe you think, boy, I'm going to have to cater. Maybe there's one that's not living for God. And you think, well, I'm just going to have to cater to the other side and kind of go along with what they're doing so they'll listen to me. Well, what kind of weaponry is that? Is that fleshly or is that the power of God? You know, sometimes in our Christian walk, we need to step back and ask ourselves the question, am I engaging in fleshly weapons or am I engaging in the weaponry of God? And too often we fall prey to human tactics and human understanding, which is the flesh, and we must understand that those tactics are what? They're weak. They're incapable of accomplishing God's will. How about it in your husband-wife relationship? Are you going about it in the flesh? Are you going about it in such a way that might make sense from a human standpoint, but it doesn't go along with God's word? You know, maybe in your soul winning, you know, you think of the average mega church today, what are they doing? Well, they're engaging in what? Fleshly weapons. You know, let's lower our standards. Let's lower our music. You know, let's bring people in with the flesh. And what are you going to get? You're going to get a church built upon the flesh, which is what? A weak church. And you're not going to have God's power. You know, we could say today that we're going to give $100 out or $1,000. To every person that'll get saved. You know, how many people do you think you can get saved? You know, how many thousands of dollars did the church spend on outreach? You know, various functions. You know, between the different special Sundays we have, the different programs, vacation Bible school, you add all that all those different things up. You know, imagine, you know, and think of, okay, how many people were saved through those programs? And you could say, well, what we could do is we spent, let's just, you know, say it was $25,000, $30,000. We'll just pay $1,000 for every person that'll get saved. You know, you'll probably get 25, 30 people pretty quick, won't you? Or pretty quickly. Well, that's what? That's a fleshly weapon. And what kind of results are you going to get? Fleshly results. And that's maybe a humorous type illustration that we wouldn't do, but we need to think of it maybe in a deeper way than that. And look at ourselves. And we have to understand, you know what? Programs are not going to reach people. We must, through those programs, engage what? The spiritual weaponry of God. And this morning, if you're thinking, well, we have this ministry, and we have this ministry, and we have this ministry, therefore we're going to reach people. Oh, we have to realize, you know what? It's mighty through who? Through God. And we're kind of jumping ahead to the next point, but I guess we're at it anyways. The second truth we must understand is that we must realize and embrace God's power. You know, sometimes people won't jump out into new ministry because they don't want to trust that God can work. But at the same time, we have to be careful that we don't say, well, just because we have this ministry, we're going to reach people. No, it's only as we are recognizing that the work can only be accomplished through the agency of God. But mighty through what? Through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You know, you can have every program in the world and reach no one if you don't recognize the God of the weapons that you are using. Ephesians 6, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And every one of us needs to be what? Realize that it's through God that we're going to see His work accomplished. You know, what does that take? Well, it takes accessing God's power through what? Through the ministry of the Word. Through prayer. Using the weaponry that God has given us, recognizing it's through Him that souls are going to be saved. And He has the power to do it. And we must go to Him to access that which only He can do. So we must realize and embrace God's power. It says, but mighty through God. To the what? To the pulling down of strongholds. You know, this morning, do you have strongholds in your life? Do you see somebody that's unsaved and you say, you know what, their life is a stronghold of Satan? Well, guess what? God has the ability to break that down. You know, there might be a stronghold of sin in your life. Well, through God, that can be pulled down. Now, what we need to see this morning is that we aren't just supposed to sit down by the sidelines and watch everyone else engage in spiritual battle. Notice what it says here in verse 5. It says, casting down imagination. So we understand that it's through the agency of God. Now what does he say? Verse number 5. Get busy. Get busy. Don't sit there and just assume it's all going to happen. You need to get busy doing it. Casting down imaginations. All right, so casting down would be to tear down, to destroy. You know, sometimes, you know, there's a building that needs to come down. So they take a wrecking ball, they do it, they what? They tear it down. You know, you don't, when you're tearing down a building, now sometimes you might, you know, sometimes people save the lumber, but imagine tearing down a building. And what happens in people's lives, so to speak? They tear down the building in such a way that they can what? Put the building back up again. But what does God want us to do? He wants us to tear these buildings down and leave no room for them to be built back up in our lives. You know, are you casting down these strongholds in your life? So we are to be to the pulling down of strongholds. How is this done? Casting down imaginations. Imaginations, calculated thought, the product of a cognitive process. So a plan. So casting down these imaginations, these plans that have been formed against God. It could mean false philosophies. You know, there are a lot of philosophies out there, calculated thinking against God. You know what? And there's a lot of philosophies out there in the world that people have thought about very carefully. And they've formulated plans against it. What does the Bible say? We need to cast them down. We need to tear them apart. You know, there are so many false philosophies out there. It might be a false philosophy in how to raise your children. It might be the false philosophy against evolutionary thought. It might be the false philosophy that life is just about personal happiness and success. It might be the false philosophy of pragmatism, that if it works, we'll do it. You know, that's pervading churches all over the place. Well, hey, a Christian rock concert is going to bring people out and they're going to get saved, so it's working, so let's keep doing it. Well, no. The Bible says casting down imaginations. And what kind of imaginations, false philosophies are in your life this morning that need to be cast down? In Colossians chapter 2, And verse 8, it says, beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. After what? The tradition of men. Something that's fleshly, something that is human-oriented. And after the rudiments of what? The world. And not after Christ. I wonder this morning, who have you been listening to on how to raise your children? Have you been getting your principles for raising your children from God's Word? You know, have you been getting your principles from the preaching of God's Word that you've heard? Or have you been adopting the philosophies of the world around you? You know, you may have gotten saved out of a background that didn't have any semblance to righteousness. Praise God that God did that. But you know what? You may have to delve into the Word of God so that you can cast down, you can tear down those false philosophies in your life, and in those places build the right kind of thinking that God wants you to base your Christian life on. I wonder this morning, are you willing to renew your commitment to the battle? You know, first of all, you must renounce fleshly weapons. Secondly, you must realize and embrace God's power. But thirdly, you must renew your commitment to the battle. You know, are you casting down? When's the last time there was something in your life and you destroyed it, so to speak? Got it out of there. I don't want to have anything to do with that in my life anymore. And you put in its place the right thing. You know, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, tenderness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. What's that preceded by? Putting off. You can put off all these things in your life, but if you don't replace them with the right things, you're going to leave a spot in your life for the wrong building to be built right back up. Then it says, in every high thing. So casting down imaginations in every high thing. The high thing there would be like a term of astronomy. Okay, referring to something high. All right, I mean high thing. All right, something, what is it referring to in this context? Well, something that's proud. Anything that would cause us to live independently of God. Anything that's going to exalt itself into a position against God. God is the high one. And every high thing that what? Exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Anything that would cause us to live independently of God. You know, nowadays it's like everybody wants to what? Rely upon the government instead of relying upon who? Relying upon God. In our country, we've almost replaced God with the government. You know, and things people ought to be relying on God for, they want to rely upon the government for. But in our own spiritual lives, is there anything in our lives that is exalting itself against the knowledge of God? You know, anything that would result in self-dependence. You know, you must go against every aspect of culture that is seeking for you to become independent of God. You know, there's a lot of aspects in our culture that are trying to pull us away from dependency on God. You know, fill your lives with entertainment. You know, whether it's media entertainment, you know, whether it's, you know, you've got to, you know, model yourselves after this athlete and what they're doing, whether it's some musician. Well, a lot of what people would call musicians really aren't musicians. Maybe we should call them noisemakers. You know, all these different things that are trying to get us what? To find our satisfaction apart from God. And what does the Bible say? They are to be cast down. They are to be torn down. Anything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. It says, in bringing into captivity every thought. Bringing into captivity. Bringing it into prison. You know, when somebody's in prison, you have what? You have control over that person, don't you? Now, you might hear every so often on the radio, you know, so-and-so escaped from whatever prison, you know. And if you found out that there was somebody that murdered somebody and they're in your neighborhood, we think they might be in such and such a place. You know, what do you think you're going to do? Well, you're going to take some action in your life. You want them what? You want them confined. You want them in control, in captivity. They're not getting loose. But too often we let thoughts run rampant in our minds instead of bringing them in captivity. You know, there might be some kind of doubt, fear, something else that's running rampant in your mind today that needs to be brought into what? Into captivity. It says not just some thoughts, but it's every thought. You know, the devil's been around long enough to know the thinking that can destroy believers. And that thinking, if it's present in your life, it needs to be brought in under Christ's control this morning. If it's anything that's leading you away from obedience to Christ, that thought must be brought into captivity. If it's anything that's causing you to doubt the promises of God's word, that thought must be brought into captivity. Because what happens? Those thoughts are put together and they become what? They become imaginations. They become false philosophies that exalt themselves when they're put together in an orderly fashion. They're thoughts that are put together and exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. You know, this morning, maybe you need to renew your commitment to the spiritual battle that we are in. Is there a casting down? Are there prisoners of war, so to speak, in your life that you have brought into captivity and you're not going to let that thought continue to be lodged in your mind and have free reign? We need to engage in spiritual battle. You wonder why you're losing the battle in your life this morning. Well, it's because you're not fighting the enemy. You know, if the enemy comes, are you just waving the white flag of surrender? Or are you engaging in the battle? You know, there may be issues with your children. There may be issues in your life with anger. There may be issues in your life with the flesh. Well, you need to what? You need to cast down. You need to find the root of that problem, so to speak. You know, we think of our, you know, public school system today. And what's wrong with it? Well, there's all these false philosophies that it's running on. And, you know, we can try to engage the result of the problem and fix that. We're going to send more policemen into the school. We're going to do all these things. And we're addressing the result of the problem, so to speak. But if you want to get at the root of the problem, you better find the philosophies that are causing these problems to take place. And in your life this morning, are you getting at that root of the problem, the philosophy that you've believed, that organized thought that's caused you to make the decisions that you're making this morning? We need to tear these things down. And then every thought that would find itself lodged in your mind that is against the knowledge of Christ, it must be brought into captivity. It needs to go out. It needs to be captivated. It needs to be brought under control. And if all of us are honest with our own minds this morning, you know, how often are there thoughts that are not brought into obedience, the obedience of Christ? He says in verse 6, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when you're what? When your obedience is fulfilled. You know, when could something truly be accomplished in the Corinthian church and this disobedience be taken care of? Well, it was when the people were committed to what? Obedience. You know, if we're going to take care of other people's problems, we better be committed to what? The truth. We better be committed to obedience ourselves. You know, this morning, are you engaged in the spiritual battle? Have you renounced fleshly weapons in your life. You know, you're trying to raise your kids, but you're doing it in the flesh. You're trying to get victory over that problem, but you haven't taken up the spiritual armor. You're still going on in your own quest for the truth, which is believing a lie. Well, you need to renounce fleshly weapons. You need to what? You need to realize God's power. You need to realize your own weakness. But realize through the agency of God, through God's power this morning, you can conquer the enemy. But you must what? You must renew your commitment to the battle. You must take action. You must cast those things out of your life. You must bring into captivity those thoughts that are causing you to go contrary to the way of Christ. Let's bow in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the fact that you are all-powerful, that there is nothing that is too hard for thee. And Lord, I pray this morning that we would recognize your power, but that we would also embrace it. Lord, too often we struggle with things in our lives because we're trying to get victory over them in our fashion, in our way. Lord, instead of getting victory over them your way. Lord, I pray this morning that the Spirit of God would expose those thoughts, would expose those wrong philosophies, Lord, that have come into our minds, that have come into our homes, that are causing us to go backwards in the battle. Lord, that we would surrender to you this morning. Lord, that we would engage in the battle. I wonder, with heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, is the Lord speaking to your heart? You know, there may be a battle going on in your life, but what weapons have you been using? You know, whose power are you trying to do it in? You know, maybe this morning you need to start engaging in the battle. Maybe you've gotten tired. You say, I'm just tired of fighting. Well, that's not how you're going to win. You need to go in God's strength for the victory. But in order for that to happen, you've got to do it His way. You know, maybe the Lord's working in your life this morning. And you say, you know, maybe today you just need to recommit yourself to the battle. You say, you know, the Lord's working in my life about how I need to recommit myself to the battle at hand. And in His strength, look for the victory. Is there anyone like that this morning? Is there anyone else the Lord's work in your life in that area? You know, maybe your issue this morning is you've been using the wrong weapons. And you've been doing it your way instead of God's way. One of this morning is your need for salvation. You know, wasn't the topic of the sermon today, but your need, you realize, you know what, the Lord's working in my life about my need of forgiveness of my sin and the salvation that only can be had through Jesus Christ. Is there anyone like that this morning? Let's pray. Lord, we pray that you would continue to work in lives, and Lord, those that you've worked in their heart this morning, we just pray that they would look to you. And Lord, they would be active in the battle, recognizing, Lord, that through your power, Lord, they can implement your weapons and have the victory. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.